Welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast 4440. Oh, the home stretch. We're here. We're here at long last to the bowl games that really sort of matter. And that's as hard as you can get in bowl season. Which bowl games matter? Sort of matter. That's about as good as you're going to get if it's not a playoff game. And even then, that's open to interpretation. Looking at you, Notre Dame.
Are you trying to say our football postseason, there are games that you could just straight up cancel them, not play them, and no one would really notice or care?
You know, during the regular season.
Especially given the work ESPN puts into their own ESPN events.
If you have lightning during a game, it's customary to wait 30 minutes until you've not seen a lightning strike within, 10 miles of the stadium? Correct?
Yeah, it's like
something like that, yeah.
Yeah. During the regular season, people will wait for this. They'll wait an hour. They'll wait several hours. I recall a Louisiana Tech game that at one point was postponed until, 2 or 3 in the morning. They were waiting for lightning to clear off. They'll play it. But a bolt.
They're like, fuck you. We've played Hawaii before. We don't sleep.
No. We go 4,000 miles for a conference game. What?
Skip Holt sleeps a barrel from the ceiling wrapped in a cocoon of his own wings. He's not going to bed.
No. Yeah. The paranormal and the paranormally talented Skip Holtz. No. Bowl game? You get 90 minutes of lightning delays? Bye. We're done, y'all. We're out of here. That's all it takes to cancel a bowl game. 90 minutes of lightning delays, and they're like, you know, maybe Boston College, Boise State doesn't have to happen. Thanks for flying, Idaho.
At least Boston and Boise aren't like two of the absolute furthest flung teams you could have brought to Dallas for the purposes of this game.
Bye. we out. That's, by the way, Boston College, as of this recording, still on the plane. They were still on the plane doing karaoke to keep themselves amused because they were stuck on the plane and they weren't going anywhere. Because
they're a gritty fucking bunch of plane riders.
Wow.
I like that this game, the weather forecast in Dallas, it was like Thor fucking dropped the hammer on the city of Dallas. You know, it was like, well, why couldn't they just play the game at like 7? Because the heavens were hammering Dallas with bolts of justice over and over and over. For the abomination they wrought, which is a rematch of the NPC Computers Bowl.
Hey, they got a nice Cavenders there. I bet they could get themselves a reasonably priced pair of boots. There's consolations to be had here, right?
Finally, the danger that someone might outspend the residents of this phone call at a Taco Cabana drive-thru.
Almost impossible. Almost impossible. But you know,
never forget, for those of you who are new, that I have been contacted by American Express out of concern for the amount of money I was trying to spend at a Taco Cabana drive-thru.
This is what greatness looks like. Yeah.
We have a question from a listener.
Oh, do we?
A young man by the name of Ryan Nanny, who is sitting in with us tonight as we record.
Ryan's sitting in for Brian Floyd on this call.
Floyd is here as well.
Oh, as sorry. Always. Sorry, Brian. I didn't see you there.
Ryan is under the weather tonight. Again, he pooped the bed again. And he would like to know if Boise State and Boston College players still get their bowl swag despite not actually finishing the drill, not completing the full football game. And if so, is that the perfect crime? Let's look up real quick. What were the bowl gifts?
Perfect crime is stabbing someone to death with an icicle.
Mm-hmm.
That's also a bowl gift for the Fast Lane Bowl, which, you know, Paul Johnson might have lost his last game there, but he did win that.
Wow. So the gift suite for the First Responder Bowl, first of all, it includes gift suite, which, again, hey, you don't got to tell the government what you're getting, what you're giving these kids. Could be anything. Who knows? 3D gun printer? Who knows? Further along that theme is an RFID blocking wallet. Again, The government does not need to know what's this, in your what's in your pants.
This is the "Am I being detained?" bowl.
And finally, the a football described as big game football. What game? I ain't got to tell you. I don't know you.
Is this the Jade Helm Bowl I've longed for all these years?
I think it is.
Did it's I finally in, it's, get it's it? In. And just like Jade Helm, it never happened.
It's also it's a football game that's in support of the troops, but they're not actually troops.
Can I interrupt banter about bowls to introduce more banter about bowls? Do I have permission from everyone here, including the Monday Night Raw commissioner off camera, sending in messages, Ryan?
Hit we've received on the big red phone by the ring.
Better answer it, Triple H.
You got to go toe-to-toe with Dean Ambrose.
That's why you're going one-on-one with Taker. Yep, we've been granted permission to land this plane, and that's why I am going to introduce our preview for the Outback Bowl. This 40 for 40 is brought to you by not Cheez-Its, because they only host lame bowl games like Cal TCU. Big old shovel full of football vomit that you're probably several days removed from watching, but still remember the aftertaste. Cheez-Its. They don't sponsor us, so fuck them. This is the Outback Bowl. Remember, the Outback Bowl, the first bowl to outright purchase the sponsorship so that you had to say the name of the sponsor in naming the event, used to be the Hall of Fame Bowl, but then a Wiley exec decided to change it to the Outback Bowl because why not eliminate identity altogether?
It's been several years since I had that pang of we are in the wrong industry when listening to the tale of a bowl exec, and I've already forgotten that one dude's name who was the source of so much scandal running around in his yellow blazer, but his successor is clearly the Outback Bowl.
Was that
CEO.
The Fiesta Man?
Yeah, God,
oh, that was the
name?
Yeah, that was the head of the Fiesta Bowl. Who, if you'll remember, he went to real jail. Tina Fey, real
Junker.
Jail. John Junker.
Thank you, Ryan. John Junker. How could I forget? Probably because his name sounds made up as hell.
Yeah, John Junker got sent to the scrapyard himself for. He did 8 months, man.
That's a hell of a fiesta, bro.
You know, every fiesta's got a cleanup.
His every lasted... fiesta has to end with a legal siesta.
Yeah, man. He was making $673,000 in 2010. You know, it was just, you know, buying fine wines and taking people to, you know, Pebble Beach on the company dime.
When was his, he was sentenced.
Ryan does point out that he had to go without golf for 8 months. And yeah, that's a particular kind of hell for a bowl executive.
I can feel the clubs in my hand, but they can't feel me. Yeah, the Washington Post had a magnificently timed thing on the Outback Bowl and how it's run. The Outback Bowl being a registered nonprofit that is... as the Washington Post pithily points out, a second tier bowl with third tier SEC and Big Ten teams.
Yeah.
As a Florida fan, you know, I'm not saying it's not accurate. I'm just saying you didn't have to go there.
A game that always pairs kind of Mississippi State and kind of Michigan State.
Yeah. Jim McVay was the head. He's the guy who sort of turned the Outback Bowl into this. He got paid $1 million last year to run the Outback Bowl, and when pressed for a description of the intense schedule that you have to keep for this, was basically someone on the committee said, well, he's got to go to Chicago and talk to people. You know, he has to maintain those relationships. Oh, so he has to talk to people. Yeah, we have over 25 events. And let's check your calendar. 25 events over the course of a calendar year. That's one every other week.
That sounds airtight to me.
How do you keep the pace? Yeah. And it's also the least charitable of these nonprofits. So, in other words, I bring you Tampa. And what better tribute to the stingiest bowl than to have Mississippi State and Iowa, the two teams that will give you the least football, the least amount of football you'll get in a bowl game.
Ryan here. Doesn't this dude have the exact same job as Kirk Ferentz? An assertion I cannot dispute.
I think that they're a cooperative kind of organism. One creates the Outback Bowl and the other creates the thing that goes in the Outback Bowl, right?
I mean, shows up in public about 20 times a year and then finishes up in Tampa. That's Kirk Ferentz.
$1 million they had to run the Outback Bowl. That's amazing.
It's a civic community event with many charitable arms. I'm assuming that's the defense of all this.
You still have to live in Tampa. So yeah, you get Mississippi State, Iowa. I'm just gonna place a bet on the over under on this game in terms of total length. This feels like I'm 3 hours 15 minutes.
Oh, they'll get this thing done in like 62 minutes.
62? Is this a Greg Maddux special?
Yeah, we're gonna breeze through this thing. You'll be out of here, and on New Year's Day it'll take you longer to wait in line at Outback than to watch.
Ryan is here offering to run the bowl for $85,000 a year. Yeah, but can you golf?
Can you go to Chicago? Is that a skill you have?
I wouldn't discount Ryan's ability to worm his way into the highest levels of the Outback Bowl. He's already wormed his way into.
Yeah,
the
he's
Outback
already in the prep kitchen.
Suit.
Yeah, we might have ruined that with his association here, but you know what?
He probably already bugged that suit.
Plausible deniability. He's technically not speaking on this podcast. Could be like, I left that due to their disgraceful treatment of the Outback Bowl's charitable activities.
We're going to get sued by Outback Bowl CEO Ryan Manning.
Mississippi State, by the way, 112th in passing. I only bring this up to tell you what Iowa's passing was nationally. Superior. Yeah, actually didn't have a bad year passing the ball. Not at all. Like they were fine. They're 69th nationally. Yeah. Nice. In passing yards. Iowa, this being, I think, their 27th. I know the Outback Bowl's only been around for so long, but I'm pretty sure this is Iowa's 27th trip to Tampa.
They officially tie Michigan in all-time Outback appearances. With a win, they would both be perfect 3-3.
Yeah, did Iowa have a 3-game losing streak in the middle of the season? Boy, howdy, did they. Big old honking 3-game losing streak, but only to finish strong against Illinois and Nebraska. They were the ones who delivered that awful homecoming hammering to Illinois, the one where everyone said, surely Lovie Smith must be fired, and then it was extended shortly afterwards.
Ryan clarifies the Bloomin' Onion suit. It's more of a Venom type thing, where we're not. I think we're not sure whether he controls the suit or otherwise.
Would Bloomin' Onion be the ideal boyfriend?
I mean, let's see.
Large.
It's true. Silent. It's not really going to say much, right? Going to shorten your lifespan. That's definitely, you know. It's definitely being in a long-term relationship with a man.
But clearly well equipped in the endurance department.
Shows up quickly and warm.
Fresh and hot. Brings his own sauce.
I mean, it's December 26th. I'd go with warm. That sounds ideal. It's onion cuffing season.
Oh, goodness. By the way, another thing to just encourage the fact that this is going to be stingy. Iowa only allowed 17 points a game. And you know who allowed less? The number one scoring defense in the nation, Mississippi State. So I'm just going to take those averages. Whew, it's going to be 17-12, y'all. That's going to be Mississippi State's walking with this thing. Should you watch it? Absolutely not. Not for a moment.
Let's see what the... typing on the... The over-under is 43. Buddy, that's a lot.
That's it. That seems high to me.
Yeah, I do have the interest.
I don't know. Those Iowa players might have been relaxing at the beach, and by the beach, I mean the causeway. No problem.
Damn, I got this under at 45. Buddy, we're going to Outback even if they make us pay.
Take it and run, because scarcity is going to be the rule here. This is, by the way, if this is Iowa's one trip to the beach for the year, it's about right. That should be an Iowa person. Wow, the ocean. It's like a big warm puddle filled with beer cans. Yep. It's Tampa Bay.
They're actually, one of the bowl activities is actually taking the Iowa team to Outback and putting them under the heat lamps on the steam table to let them get a base tan.
We're here to see that's a charitable activity provided by the Outback Bowl. We do this for free for these poor vitamin D malnourished kids. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah, don't watch this. It's not gonna be. It'll only be good in that sense of where we're all watching it going, taste it, it's bad. You have to taste this.
How was everyone's Christmas, by the way, on a more pleasant note, hopefully.
I
Mine was
got
great.
knives and hair care products. My family knows me very well.
That's perfect. You can
Ooh,
cut
and
your
I got
hair
a new
now.
drill, continuing my march towards daddom.
Also for cutting
Yes.
your hair.
Yeah, you're gonna beat me to proper
Ryan lost his voice and
daddom.
everyone in his house is sick, which was that was my Christmas last year. I'm a little concerned at this point because no one in my house has come down with like creeping midwinter flu, and it's like I keep glimpsing death around corners, but I have not yet felt its icy fingers grip my sinuses, and I'm just kind of waiting. I'm waiting on you.
I didn't think I was sick, and then all of a sudden I couldn't keep my eyes open, and my entire head felt like it was in a decompression chamber.
Okay, maybe
And
I am getting sick because I did that today. Like I took an accidental 2.5 hour nap from like four
yeah,
thirty to
that's
7, and I woke up and my parents found this unremarkable. Like just went about their evening because having birthed and raised me, I guess they're used to seeing me sleeping in places. But I woke up, convinced that I had time traveled.
I'm learning this though. You can't rely on people who are near retirement age or past it to tell you what's normal.
Yeah.
Because if you just pass out for 2 or 2.5 hours, they're like, oh, perfectly normal. That's too. I'm like, man, I feel like I should go to bed at like 8:30. And they're like, no, it's sensible.
And they're like,
No,
no,
I don't
you
know.
look. I was panicking, and they're like, no, we put a blanket on your feet. You look fine. I'm like, what day is it? What year is it?
I wasn't.
Yeah, it's like when I was drinking in the woods with a recently retired Paul Johnson. Man, he thinks a lot of stuff is normal.
These are visions from the future that you are speaking into reality. It's going to be our off-season profile of a recently retired college football coach. Yeah, I gotta go visit my friend Sleepy over at State Penn. What's he in there for? Oh, some bullshit. He didn't do it. I think it's time for our next one. Welcome to the Citrus Bowl, 40 for 40. We'll give it as much time as it needs, much like every other bowl we have discussed. The Citrus Bowl this year is going to feature number 14, Kentucky. Say it with me. Let every syllable sit on your tongue like a delicious Andes candy mint. Let it dissolve. Let it get into your system. Kentucky, number 14. When somebody asks you what happened in 2018, number 14, Kentucky, in the Citrus Bowl happened. That's right. Kentucky will be playing Penn State in one of the more hapless bowls. I know the New Year's Day bowls are supposed to be showcase bowls. 2018, kind of top heavy in terms of value. You're not really getting a whole lot out of this, I'll be honest. It's going to kind of be a slap fest between one team that cannot score and the other team that sort of just does everything at random in Penn State.
Yeah. Penn State is joining Georgia and Florida in most all-time Citrus appearances. A dubious honor if ever there was one. Kentucky is so this used to be a very lower tier bowl game. Eastern Kentucky has been here before. Western Kentucky has been here before. Beat the shit out of the Coast Guard. But Kentucky itself has never been here before.
So they're the last Kentucky to get here. Oh.
They are, yes. Louisville has been here before as well.
Oh, man.
So you're Kentucky, you got scurvy. You're the last to get some citrus in you.
That's rough, man. That's rough. That's so bad. Let me give you the amazing stats about Kentucky. It's my favorite thing about them. When facing non-Power 5 teams, Kentucky scores over 30 points every single time. every single time. Central Michigan, bam, 35 on you. Early this year, they played Murray State, boom, 48. They played Louisville, boom, 56. Don't tell me they're this year. They lost that. They're not a Power Five, not a Group of Five.
they're
FCS. We demoted them.
Don't put that on us.
Yeah, don't. No, you don't.
That's some NAIA trash.
Yeah, it's got Petrino on it. To get a Petrino off something, you're going to need some industrial cleanser.
Only Petrino we acknowledge is Paul.
Here's what they scored.
Here in the FCS.
Here's what they scored.
Figures.
This is leading up to a cell phone, and I'm just gonna lead it in here. Most points they scored was against Mississippi State. Somehow. That's perfect Mississippi State and Kentucky logic. That who burns Mississippi State for 28 hot points? That's right, Kentucky, who then went on to put up a whole bunch of teenagers. 14, 14, 15, 17. One elementary school, we got a 7 against Tennessee, damn. And a 24-7 loss to Tennessee. How did this team get to the Citrus Bowl?
How am I catching strays on a year when my team isn't even in a game?
Because you know who the second stop most that. Points that,
no,
the second most points
that.
They scored
you
in
might
conference
have a transitive that. Citrus Bowl victory.
Florida.
Stop that.
I don't know how they got through the year, Ma.
Get back in your goddamn crate.
I don't know how Kentucky got here. I don't know how any of this happened. But damn it, no one's going to take it away from the last Kentucky through the door into the bar we call the Citrus Bowl. But damn it. They're here, and they have to play Penn State. Did anyone pay attention to Penn State after, like, week four?
Whenever the game against Ohio State was, that was great. But after that, no, didn't feel like there was any reason to.
At all? Like, it was just like, we just won't watch anything they do.
Let's see. Let's review their schedule real quick.
I'm dead serious. I don't think anyone
actually mean this sincerely because this is a good question. Okay. App State, that was awesome. App State dragged Penn State to overtime again. First concerns, they're showing. Allegedly beat the shit out of Pitt. That didn't happen. Ohio State was week five. They lost 1 point. It's always every time they play, it someone suffers. Horrifically. Oh, they lost to Michigan State. That was also a tragic stunner. Got the shit kicked out of them by Michigan. And yeah, that was it.
Yeah, that's you lost 42-7 to Michigan, which how on earth this is the Styles Make Fights thing. If I told you that losing that badly to Michigan would get you that close to Ohio State and then watch what Michigan did against Ohio State, the sport makes no sense. Done. There is no rule to be drawn between those three results. None.
Other than that Kentucky could beat Penn State worse than Ohio State did.
Do you kind of hope Kentucky just phones this in real hard and enjoys the hell out of it? Like, when are we getting back to this shit, boys?
Yes, because I have under 48.
Yeah, that's, don't worry.
I'm realizing I played a lot of unders in Big Ten bowl games. I wonder why that was.
I just somehow feel like any game with a Kentucky in it has the restrictor plate firmly bolted over the intake of this engine, right? There's going to be, this is the weighted vest. That's how Kentucky gets everyone in shape. Put it on, run hard. After that, it'd be like, whew, man, it was going so slow, but it was so stressful.
On the upside, NFL fans, tune into this one because you'll get to see a very special player named Josh Allen showing out for you. Could be a top 10 draft pick. Could be worthy of a top 10 draft pick. Josh Allen is his name. He plays linebacker for Kentucky. I believe he'd be the first player with that name to go in the top 10 of the draft and deserve it.
Yeah. No other names ring in mind here. IMO. Next! Welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast 40 for 40 for the Fiesta Bowl. Remember the Fiesta Bowl. As previously discussed, the only bowl game I know of where their president had to do 8 months in the pen for messing with the books. So that's how you know it's going to be good. The other reason I know how it's going to be good, it features LSU, number 11. Versus UCF, number 8. One team cannot score. The other team can't stop scoring and has an extreme inferiority complex.
Well, I think that applies to both, right?
Does it? Does it?
I mean, how? Look how they talk about Nick Saban.
This is the thing. How can LSU have an inferiority complex when they've burned that much money in terms of talent? Like, think about the amount. Like, if I told you, if I stacked up all of the, like, blue chip talent and all the draft picks that they have squandered in the name of scoring 0 points, like, LSU hasn't scored a touchdown against Alabama since 2003. I'm just going to pull that number out. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to check it. It feels right. That's how I know it's true.
So that would mean that was Nick Saban scored it against Alabama.
That's right. That's right. It takes Nick Saban to score. How sad is that?
Damn, that is sad.
Yeah, how sad is that shit? Think about it, y'all. If I just went ahead and told you, by the way, like the number of blue chip recruits that LSU has had, 163 since 2007. 163. That's more than Oklahoma. That's more than Auburn. That's more than a lot of teams who have won national titles since then. Since Les Miles' miracle year of 2007.
There's only been like three teams that have won national titles since then.
That's right. The other one's Alabama, has like way more talent.
Yeah, Alabama's won 9.
It's not even funny. You know. They have more than Florida State.
Oregon won 1 and Alabama won 9, right?
That is correct. That is correct. And nobody, like, the only team that squandered almost as much talent is Texas. Why am I mentioning all this squandering talent? Because UCF's waiting right there.
That they are. And they don't squander shit.
No. UCF came up hard. They crawled through a pipe full of sewage to get here. They because you know what? Nobody will face them. LSU won't face them. Let's see if they show up. That's my hot take.
That's true. There are no Power 5 teams that will agree to any sort of a regular season scheduling arrangement with UCF. None. None whatsoever. Don't look it up.
No. Can't happen. No, it's never happened. Last year, Auburn didn't even show up. It's like half true. I'm not totally lying there.
I do like that when UCF wins and claims its second straight national title, just the fatigue. I feel like everyone who spent the entire last 12 months laughing at UCF for this, how much matter can you get about it this time? You know, it's just going to sort of be like, oh, fine, there they go again. And at that moment, UCF has truly won. They tuckered you out like like when a 5-year-old, you know, just wears you down with why questions before you finally just put on YouTube. I don't care.
I was about to make the point that, you know, UCF is going without the starting quarterback who helmed much of last season's undefeated campaign and much of this season's undefeated campaign. Mackenzie Milton suffered a horrendous leg injury late in the season. I then remembered that LSU is the other team. Doesn't matter.
Good point.
Doesn't really matter, does it? It's like, wow, y'all don't have a quarterback with any kind of established record, and then there's LSU.
Hang on now. Joe Burrow is undefeated in games in which he completes 55% or fewer, I think.
Joe T. Bro. Jim T. Bro.
LSU's without it's like two best players or something due to the NFL, so that even adds a little bit.
I believe like that's they have two, they're out two starters. Is that correct? Due to NFL concerns?
Something like that. I feel like you can just copy and paste that exact sentence though.
in addition to, you know, Michigan. This is the best Michigan, just to give you a little preview, the Peach Bowl, you know, missing four players. So far, who are starters? It's still going to be Florida. That's the joke. Hey.
That was our Peach Bowl preview, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Ryan and or Holly, did we have anything on the, what the fucking, the Fiesta Bowl?
I'm sleepy.
Oh, Ryan Annie is typing. Hang, stand by, folks.
Stand by. There's something. The Royal Commissioner has sent an email. Let me read it.
The bulletin is coming across the wire.
Brian, I can only do this for so long.
He says, fuck it, nah. There's your Fiesta Bowl preview. Fuck it, nah.
Fuck it, nah. That's it. Also, by the way, cheating on their own bowl game, there is a pregame party sponsored by Cheez-Its. You sluts.
Ugh. What's wrong with sluts?
That's true. I should call them Cheez-Its. It's the insult is enough. Then there is a Fiesta Bowl gymnastics meet, which I really hope is open category, so anyone can show up and try to do the pommel horse.
So people from Orlando and Louisiana.
Hey, Jim, get on up there and try that. It'd be festive. Oh, God, what I wouldn't... If I just set up a pommel horse in the middle of the street in New Orleans, how long would it take for people to start taking shots at it?
I mean, you tell Louisiana fans, hey, come in here and play around on our bars. Oh, they got bars?
Not the kind of bar I meant. Ah, a bar is a bar. Just watching, like, set up a full vault lane in the middle of the street somewhere in Lafayette and see how many people on, like, a Saturday night are like, yay, no, give me a shot of that. This may be our off season, by the way. just to do that. How did you fracture 8 stranger sternums? They did it by themselves. Their own free will. It's a free country. If you believe in freedom, you'll let this stupid thing happen. Perfect summation of a UCF LSU game, which LSU cannot win and UCF really can't lose. Next. Welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast 40 for 40 preview for the granddaddy of them all, the Rose Bowl. That's right. Bring up your bathtub gin and invite the hottest matchup of 1914. That'd be the Ohio State Buckeyes versus the Huskies of Washington. Hungry dogs on the prowl for their first big Rose Bowl win since they were commandeered by the mighty Marcus Tuiasosopo himself. Now, trumpet's still going. Which means I'm going to keep doing this. He's dead. It's good.
It's not really a Rose Bowl if one team doesn't, like, have to hijack a train to get there, right? We got to go back to that tradition. Like Ohio State's just, like, they got to put together a whole GTA mission just to get to Pasadena.
Just to get on and be like, listen, do you want to do it the loud way or the quiet way?
And you got, like, Michigan, like, we will decline a bid to the Rose Bowl. It's too expensive.
Yeah, we will not do this because it
involves
it involves breaking several laws. We would not do that. Meanwhile, Ohio State's like, you know, the real victim here is me, train conductor.
Washington will be traveling by Zeppelin.
I have a message from Ryan that may be out of date at this point. It says, can't wait for Barry Alvarez to streak at this game. That's my wish game, so I'm just going to assume that this is what Barry does in the offseason.
I think Ryan was talking about the Citrus Bowl.
Why would you say that? Why would you box your sweet Barry in like that?
No, that's where I would like to picture Barry Alvarez streaking, surrounded by delicious, juicy fruits.
Mm. Yeah, but that's called Thursday.
Berries. Hello.
The ultimate podcast sponsor.
Football podcast, the only podcast to sexually objectify Barry Alvarez.
Your promo code Berries at berriesberries.com.
That's right. All proceeds go to Barry Alvarez. Damn it. How does that happen every time?
Making money coming and going.
I know. Barry's a bank, man. This is a weird game. This is a profoundly weird game. Just boundless weirdness surrounds this because, this is where Ohio State ended up. Most years, that'd be pretty good, historically speaking, but... This is not, I guess, where Ohio State expected to end up. They're on the outside of the playoff picture looking in, as they should be. Because, you know, you don't lose to Purdue by 1,000 points in the middle of the season and not have it come back to bite you in the ass. IMO. But hey, this is a fine consolation prize for Urban Meyer's last game. I said that with quotes. It's Urban Meyer's last game as a head coach. Because he's going to take the Notre Dame job in 2 years.
Well, what's he going to do until then, though?
Oh, well, surely he'll probably take time to reflect and on the failures of this year and grow and develop as a person and spend time with his family. That's certainly what
but
I think.
But surely he'll disassociate from Ohio State University, which suspended him 4 months ago for being a liar, right?
You know, I think liar is a strong word. Maybe an alternate truther.
Okay.
Well,
surely he won't remain in like a position of authority over students and or student athletes and coaches.
Particularly not in a position that seems to carry with it an air of moral authority that would, gosh, wouldn't that provide him an interesting springboard to a coaching position that seems to carry with it the necessity of moral authority? We have never told a joke on this podcast.
Apparently he's going to be an associate AD. Well...
Yeah, while also teaching a class on leadership at Ohio State University.
On what?
On leadership.
How interesting.
Ohio State's a Big Ten school, so I'll just trust they know what they're doing. Cause doesn't make sense to my poor mind.
You absolute trash heaps.
Ryan says that Urban Meyer will be promoted to detective. He certainly has the skills.
He's certainly familiar with loose cannons.
Good God. That's all true.
Man, we're all going to laugh so hard when Zach Smith gets the Notre Dame job ahead of him.
Jesus.
Don't say like they wouldn't hire him. He's got exactly the attitude they want towards women.
My God. Yeah.
Tell me
so,
I'm wrong.
Ryan says, Urban Meyer's forgotten more about crime than you'll ever learn, rookie.
That's Rook. Excuse me.
Which, Urban Meyer, does he forget things? I don't recall that happening.
Life's funny.
We're in the undependable position of somebody who might have occasional memory problems due to medication telling us he has memory problems, or does he? Whoa. The undependable narrator.
Ohio State is an avant-garde work of fiction.
I was going to say, damn, why is he doing leadership? He should be on that avant-garde fiction and cinema.
Why is Ohio State playing in the postmodernist second person?
Yeah, let me tell you about foreshadowing. About 3 months before you're going to quit, you should start talking about health problems you haven't mentioned.
Yeah, at Ohio State, it's more like 5-shadowing.
So, this leads to Washington, who, poor blameless Washington, just doing the thing they're supposed to do, winning the Pac-12 in ugly fashion.
Hideous.
Hideous, man. The good news is that this is going to happen. And it is one of the funniest outcomes of the season now that I see it coming. Jake Browning's going to get to go against that Ohio State defense, and he's going to look incredible. Like a dude who at times looked like an Uncle Rico type peaked in high school guy who got three of the best managed seasons in the history of college football with a coach who has done everything he can to craft that attack to hide his weaknesses, is going to get to go up against a Greg Schiano-led defense. Can I tell you how big the brain imbalance is here on one side with Greg Schiano on one side and Chris Peterson on the other? Oh, my God.
I just want a moment in the game. Jake Browning has thrown his third 80-yard touchdown of the game. Kirk Herbstreit says... Well, gosh, I just don't know what's gotten into Jake Browning. Looks like an immediate smash cut Greg Schiano's face. That's what I want. He's like chewing on a nail or something, just doing normal Greg Schiano shit.
Ryan says more like Jag Browning.
Oh, bring him home. Mama's calling.
Uh-huh. Come on. Yeah, that's it. Just like young Blake Bortles out there shooting holes in the Ohio State secondary. Greg Schiano's drinking rusty rainwater out of a gutter.
More like Jake Teeling.
Nailed it. Proud of you.
It'd be real funny if Washington won. I don't think they will.
Yeah, I don't. I thought the same thing about Minnesota beating Georgia Tech. And Minnesota beat the shit out of Georgia Tech.
I know. God, that'd be great, man. And like, so can you imagine?
It's not necessarily the best bowl season for departing coaches, be they beloved or otherwise.
It's not the best bowl season for a lot of things.
Can you imagine a worse outcome for Ohio State than be like, well, surely, you know, we've put bowl prep mostly in the hands of Ryan Day, so it's going to be great. We've handed the program off well, and you lose 34-5.
Whatever happens here is the total responsibility of Ryan Day and not anyone who is departing the staff.
Like, if it just falls
actually,
off.
We meant the opposite. Urban did the whole thing. It was all him.
If it just falls off immediately in the bowl game, you're like, we're back in the Rose Bowl. Ah, 43-10. Oh, God. Jake Browning.
Urban's like, actually, my head feels great. I think I'm gonna stick around for a couple of years until that Notre Dame job opens up.
One last note, you
talk
take
about
Urban
getting
Meyer's
your daddy back.
Do you want to talk like one last note? Do you think Urban Meyer sitting in that associate AD role isn't going to coach, even though it's an NCAA violation? Not a chance in hell.
He's going to recruit for sure.
It's sweet that you said, even though it's an NCAA violation, as though that has any fucking bearing.
Well, he traditionally observes rules and violations and tries very hard not to cross those boundaries, right?
It depends. Just not going to like go out of his way to find out much information about them. That's all he needs to do. Next. Welcome to the Shutdown Full Cast 4440. This is going to be a podcast about the Sugar Bowl. This year's edition of the Sugar Bowl features number 5, Georgia, who definitely is 2 minutes behind Alabama in terms of quality in the SEC. Just have to mention that 118 minutes of leading Alabama, 120 minutes of game time. Guess when those last 2 minutes happened? At the end of the game. Built time. Just like to put that, if you lose your one shot getting into the playoff, guess where you get to go? That's right. Good boys and girls get to go to New Orleans, which is definitely not purgatory itself. It's a really fun purgatory. They're going to be playing number 15, Texas, from the Big 12. Why when Big 12 teams end up in the Sugar Bowl, like, half the time it's like, I don't know, we just sort of pull them off the pile. Here we go.
The Big 12 title game, it has a new stipulation that the loser of the title game gets the Sugar Bowl bid.
Yeah.
If the winner is in the playoff, which could lead to some weird situations. Like if say West Virginia had, you know, ended up like 13th or something, we'd still be stuck with Texas.
Do the people who used to make World War I treaties and like alliance treaties pre-World War I, do they do all of the Big 12's agreements, right?
Yeah. whichever Kaiser that was, the German, whoever, the one who rigged the entire fucking time bomb in Europe. Like, there's no way all these things could blow up at once. If they do, we'd all die. No one would make that decision.
What catastrophe?
That was Big 12 condition.
What catastrophe attorney are they employing who's doing things like, well, let's see. If TCU goes under 500, then I have to go put 2 bullets in the next kid I meet named Todd on the street. What?
And you know how the Big 12's big solution to conference realignment, their big innovation was, hey guys, if anybody leaves, we get to keep all their money. So like, it's this huge like suicide pact that's what's gonna bring stability. If anybody leaves, we get to eat their body.
They're not.
We all love each other. That's why we're staying together.
They're
so
not.
No one eats each other.
They're not a conference. They're a tontine.
It's just one big standoff. Everyone's pointing a gun at each other, and Texas is taking a nap.
Yeah,
Texas is fine.
I'm going to live to 120. I don't know what you guys do.
Ryan points out Iowa State's vast fortune is on the line here. So much clean water.
Bury me with my money. It's water. It's the gold of the 23rd century.
Bury me in an aquifer.
That's right. You'll need a back to tank where you're going and where you're going to get it. Ames.
Good job, Big 12.
Oh, it's the stupidest conference, but it does lead It does lead to the extremely appealing matchup to me personally of Georgia versus Texas, because again, Georgia really can't win this game, can they? They really can't. They can win it. Oh yeah, they can have more points than Texas, but there really won't be a satisfying enough margin short of actual murder to make.
I mean, say they win by 50 points. Then guess what? You're number two behind Alabama.
Yeah, you're still 2 minutes behind Alabama.
That's still where you are.
That's it. That's what Georgia time is. It's 2 minutes behind Alabama. I know. It's Eastern time zone.
Looks like the recruiting rankings. Looks like the scoreboard.
Yeah, that's how it's going to work, y'all.
It's like the education rankings flipped upside down.
Meanwhile, Texas, man. Texas just gets to keep it close. They'll stick it to everyone over this, right? Yeah, you said we weren't supposed to hang with the SEC. Look at us. We only lost by 9.
Yeah, they beat Missouri last year. So that's an SEC team, in case anyone forgets. It's an SEC team.
Yeah, that's, you know what? I mean, yeah, that's the only team in the SEC I'm aware of who has any sort of connections to Texas. They recruit here. I don't know any other SEC teams in Texas. Can't think of one. Wouldn't be thinking of one right now. Their strong, soldierly shoulders, beautiful cut of their jawline in a uniform, sitting astride a horse at sunset on the Texas prairie.
Those white khakis.
Not thinking about you. Don't miss you.
Ryan is disconnected, folks. We are now, the mods are asleep.
That's right.
So we now can post your memes. I'm recording. Ryan is back. Ryan is back. So the mod is back with us. So everyone hold your memes.
Mod is back. Do not put memes. Cease.
Do not post memes.
Cease long erotic fantasy.
Send all memes to @celebrityhottub. I don't care what they're of.
Yeah.
Just send them your best meme.
So yeah, that's Texas really is in a delightful position in this ball game, and that they can. This is house money, man. You know, you can't really. And also, you know, Tom Herman, you're not getting rid of him, right? It's not.
Yeah, you're probably not going to fire Tom Herman.
No, you're stuck with him, man, for at least another year. Who else? Eventually, this is what's going to happen. You'll have the Dan Snyder problem, where eventually people are going to look at the ownership. Because it's not like Texas isn't hiring good coaches. Nope. Somehow you just keep burning talent. How does that happen? Just a thought.
So, let's see. Yeah, that's the last bowl. Pretty great setup we got, where the playoff is 3 full days before bowl season ends. I guess it's better than it used to be, where at least there's sort of a build up to the bigger games. At least you end with 2 top 15 teams. Like we used to have the damn Mobile Bowl. You remember this a few years ago? That was the last one before the title game.
I always enjoyed that, because it would be large stadiums and big crowds and things happening, and then it would be an erector set stadium somewhere on the outskirts of Mobile with ladies in weird dresses and two teams playing in the GMAC Bowl.
Yeah, I remember we had very, very early on when we were building SBNation.com editorial. This is like almost a decade ago. I remember there was a casual football fan who was involved in one meeting, and we were talking about, you know, we should do a map or a roadmap or a timeline or something, like building toward the title game. And they're like, okay, so then it gets more and more important. It goes to the Rose Bowl, and that's a Sugar Bowl. That's a big day. And then, okay, so then it goes to the Mobile game, and that's like the second biggest one.
Oh, God. And we had to explain the GoDaddy Bowl was not actually like the anthem.
Yeah, we're like, no, the GoDaddy Bowl, that's more of a pre-post appetizer. It's kind of like the Pepto-Bismol, I guess. Ryan brings up the International Bowl. When was that? Like,
oh, that's the long may it rest, the International Bowl that took place in Toronto.
Yeah, but I mean in the oh yeah, that was a mid-January, as late as January 6th in the year 2007. USF Eternal International Bowl champs, of course.
USF had to go. That was actually money laundering. That's what that was. That was Canadian retirees in Florida needing someone to, get cash across the border in a, expedient fashion. And what better way to do that than to ask Jim Levitt to do it?
Ryan also says we should have a May bowl game. What if we broke up FBS into just did like the group of five season start it in January? Who says no? Why would that be a bad idea?
Yeah, but which
Like
bowl?
they're not eligible for the playoff anyway, so.
What company do you want sponsoring a bowl game, and where is it? If we're going to have a bowl game in like May.
Well, the Big Ten would finally get bowls, right? Think you can finally put them up north. So if you want games up north, guess you're dropping down. Sorry.
Can I get I think that's where we start to get like sponsors that are private prison companies, right? That's
Well, we're going back to those
yeah, we're, again, yeah,
again.
that's where you get FAU involved in things. Private prison company, bowl game in. I'm just gonna throw this out here. Batesville, Arkansas. If you want the real bad, if you want the real Bad Boy Mowers bowl, have it in the Bad Boy Mowers factory in
Wait,
Batesville,
can we call
Arkansas.
it the real Bad Boy Mowers Bowl?
The real bet. No. You don't.
The
There's.
Bad Man Mowers Bowl.
That's it. That's where we get. That's where we
The
get.
Worst Man Mowers Bowl.
That's where. What sketchy hotel chain can we get to like? Or no, the American Deli Bowl. That's what it'll be.
Can there just be a bowl sponsored by a drug? Just
Like.
like an illegal drug?
Oh yeah, I was gonna say you don't mean like a prescription drug. You mean
No,
like
no,
a
no,
drug
no, no,
drug.
no. Yeah.
Like the PCP bowl
Oh, yeah, that'd be a good one.
in Fresno.
That's Minnesota Fresno every year.
Why? Why not?
The team, instead of doing the like, how many chicken wings can you eat thing, it's like, how many trucks can you bench press?
How many cops can you fight? I set a Fresno PCP poll record by fighting 37 officers myself with these hands that God gave me and with the power of PCP coursing through my body. Go Jackets!
Just so proud of these young men to come to the great town of Fresno and contribute to the community by giving the entire police department a full afternoon of exercise and combat training.
Bowl gifts, these hands.
Oh,